from the Diocese of Gallup. Welcome to Crozier Cast. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and with me, as always, is your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Very good. And today we are talking about St. James the Greater. There's also a St. James the Lesser, but today we wanted to focus on St. James the Greater. There's many reasons that I think you enjoy talking about St. James, not the least because you share a name.
I do, yeah. So that's my father's name. It was my name. It is my name. So I do choose the Greater, and not simply because of the Greater, but I choose him because I was most attracted to him in the Scriptures and in his life, and so I've somewhat of a devotion, built a devotion to St. James the Greater. And this is, I think, it's a nice little topic too, coming on the heels of the All Saints Day.
Right. So let's just give a brief overview for those who may not be familiar. Who was St. James? What did he do?
So St. James was one of the first four to be called by our Lord. So the two sets of brothers, we know that there's St. Peter and St. Andrew, and the Scripture talks about how our Lord sees them. They're fishermen. He tells them to leave everything behind and follow after him. Scriptures say they left their nets and they followed after Jesus. And then a little further, we have James and John. We have the two brothers, Boarginus. They're called Sons of Thunder because they get ahead of themselves a little bit. Our Lord calls them as well. And the Scriptures say they left their nets and their father, the sons of Zebedee. And they left their nets and they followed after Jesus. So we know that they were the first of the four of the apostles to be called according to Scripture. And then what's neat about James, he, along with St. Peter and St. John, his brother, are there for different events in our Lord's life. They're the three that are at the Transfiguration. He's the first of the 12 to be martyred. That makes him a little unique as well.
And so if some people are familiar with our Facebook stories or, you know, news stories or anything like that, some may not be, but you have several times walked the Camino de Santiago, which maybe you want to give us a brief overview of what that is, and then also it has a very specific tie to St. James.
It does. So I've walked the Camino, portions of the Camino, three times. First time in 2012, I was with Archbishop Copley of Oklahoma City and Bishop Conley of Nebraska, Lincoln, and then two priest friends, one from Phoenix, one from Kentucky. And then the next year we went back, that was the Camino Frances. We went the last 100 miles of the Camino Frances, which is the most of the traveled ways. There's about 13 ways that lead to Compostela. And then the next year we went back because a good friend of ours was unable to be with us the year before. So again, it was Archbishop Coakley and then four priests. And we did the last 116 miles of the Camino Portugues. So we started in Portugal and walked that way. So that was 2012 and 2013. And then in 2016, Archbishop Coakley and I walked what they call the Camino Primitivo. And that was the original way. It starts in a beautiful town called Oviedo. It has the ancient ruins of the castle of the King Alfonso the Chaste, which would be a nice name to have, the Chaste. And it starts up in the Asturias, and the Asturias are referred to as the Swiss Alps of Spain. So the first half of that was just lots of ups and downs and ups and downs. You go up a mountain, you go down a mountain, there's another mountain right in front of you. And so that was about 212 miles. We did the whole way for that. The other ones were portions, and we did the whole way of that. But again, all things, what they do is all roads lead to Compostela. So I've had the privilege to be able to do that a few times, and looking forward to doing it again this summer. Here comes the train.
Yep. As always, if you haven't listened to this before, we are right across the street from a busy railroad track. Not only the railroad track, but actually it's one of the areas where they unload and load the trains. So every day we get to listen in.
And for safety purposes, they have to lay on the horn. And I think they lay on the horn right across the street from us.
Right, yeah, quite a bit. So speaking of trains and moving around and, you know, pathways. So what does the Camino have to do with St. James?
So in the, I believe it was in the 9th century, there had always been talk of St. James, who was martyred in Jerusalem, and was the first to be martyred. There was always talk that his body had been carried to Spain. And the reason for that, because he had gone to Spain, the area which is Spain, and he had evangelized at one point. And even associated with that too, he had evangelized, and he wasn't very successful in his efforts to evangelize, and so he was somewhat discouraged. And what happened was Our Lady appeared to him. It's the first appearance of Our Lady. Nuestra Señora del Pilar, Our Lady the Pillar. And at that time, Our Lady was still alive, so it was a bilocation. And she appeared to him and encouraged him. And I think that's one of the ways we can look to Our Lady. She'll be there, she is our mother, and she'll encourage us. And so she encouraged St. James in his efforts to evangelize. So he continued to do that, but ultimately he was martyred. And so there had always been talk that his body was sent to Spain to be buried, and then it was buried. And so in the 9th century, under this, what they call the Field of Stars, that's where you have Compostela, the Field of Stars, his tomb was found as it had been described. And so eventually the bishop encouraged pilgrimages to this area. And so for, 1,100 years, pilgrims had been making their way to this place, burial of St. James the Greater, and been asking for his intercession. And so that's why it's so important. And there are about 12 or 13 ways that lead to Compostela.
Now, if anybody looks at a statue or a painting of St. James, often he will be depicted, I believe, with a shell.
The pilgrim shell.
So what does that signify?
So if you go to the area, it's in Galicia, and you on the shores, there's a lot of the shells, the concha shell. And so it signifies a couple of things. First of all, it's the pilgrim shell. It's one of the images of that. As it had been said along the way, it would have been a way that you would collect water, because you're a pilgrim, that you would collect water. But it's also a symbol of baptism. And you know, when many times when a child is baptized, what's used to scoop the water to pour it over the child's head or the adult's head is a symbol of a shell, because it is a symbol of baptism as well. So it's a symbol of the pilgrim. It's a symbol of baptism. In both ways, it's used for collecting water. And so a lot of times pilgrims, and I do this myself, will have the shell, and you can buy them all over the place, with the image of the cross of St. James. It looks a bit like a sword painted on it, and people will attach it to their backpack and walk the way on the Camino. One year I was given a shell at the Acoma Pueblo in our diocese, and was given it, and so I carried it for a young lady who was suffering from cancer, and I carried it as a reminder to pray for her each and every day. And then I was able to touch it to the reliquary that holds the remains of St. James, and then I was able to give it to her and her family. She's since passed away, and her family still has that image as a reminder of prayers for her along the way.
Now, what did St. James do? Was he a bishop, a priest afterwards, after he left the rest of the apostles?
He was apostle, different than the other James. The James was known as the first bishop of Jerusalem. So he was apostle, evangelizer, went about and spread the good news. And so ultimately he is, of all the 12, he's the first to be martyred. So my guess is there wasn't much time for him to be considered like St. James the Lesser, the first bishop of Jerusalem, or places like that. He didn't necessarily have the structure that we have today in place. But we do know that he was evangelizer. We do know he went to the Iberian Peninsula and evangelized and shared the good news and was the first to offer his life. Which is interesting too, because if we remember in the scriptures, you know, James and John, at one point, they're the ones that ask for a nice place in the kingdom from our Lord. And then another place, they ask their mother to do their bidding for them. And I don't know if if the mother of James and John, the wife of Zebedee, was like the first like helicopter mom or not, or if they were just a couple mama's boys and they had their mom doing their bidding. But in both cases, our Lord says, you know, that's not for me to give. Those things are for those who have already been assigned. But then they do he asks if they're able to drink of the chalice of which he will drink, that chalice of suffering, a chalice of martyrdom. And so that does speak about the death in which James will die, and John, his brother, didn't suffer martyr's death, but he suffered greatly, imprisoned, tortured, exiled, all sorts of horrible things, all for the sake of the gospel. So our Lord does give St. James a bit of an insight into the life that he will have, how he will die, because he knows, he would know eventually how our Lord died, so we know that he would suffer and die as well, martyr's death.
And then personally, I mean, you know, you were named, I believe your father was named James.
He was.
So how did you come, I mean, that was a given name, but did you come eventually to have a special devotion to St. James, or was it sort of always there?
So my father, when he received the name, and James is a long-standing name in my family, it goes way, way back, a couple hundred years. And when my father was given the name, he wasn't Catholic. And then eventually he did become Catholic, 1964. And then I was born a few months later, and then I received the name, so I was named after my father. And so pretty much the choice was given to me. And there's lots of Jameses, not just the greater and the lesser, the two apostles, there's lots of Jameses. But I seem to somehow always be drawn toward St. James, the greater. Again, you hear more about him in the scriptures. I thought it was fascinating. It was the first to be martyred. I came to know a little bit about when I was younger, a little bit about the Camino, and so I was always attracted to St. James the Greater, Santiago de Compostela, and so that's kind of, I guess in a way I chose him, but also in a way he chose me.
Are there any lessons as Catholics that we can learn from the life of St. James when we study it?
Yeah, I think one is, as I mentioned a little with Our Lady of the Pillar, is the tradition tells is that he became discouraged in his efforts to evangelize a pagan culture, and he wanted to give up, and that's when Our Lady appears to him. And I think sometimes we can feel a little discouraged in our own efforts to evangelize, and we want, you know, instant gratification. That's our culture today. You know, Wi-Fi is not fast enough. We need the information quicker, And I think we can look at the example of St. James, where he probably wanted them to receive it right away. He already knew the good news, and he knew how great the good news was. And so it probably was a little disheartening or discouraging when the people didn't receive the good news of Jesus Christ and his church. And so who comes to him? Our Lady comes to him. She comforts him. She encourages him. And he continues on his way, ultimately to the way of offering his life for the sake of the gospel. So I think that's one of the lessons we can learn from St. James, is not to be discouraged, and if we do find ourselves being discouraged, turn toward Our Lady, and she'll be there for us, because we know that our Lord gives her to us on the cross, right? Behold your mother, behold your son. So I think it's a really good lesson. I think another lesson is, you know, try not to, what would the term we'd use, like ladder climbing, right? Because he and his brother are asking for good places. The scriptures talk about how they're arguing on who is the greatest amongst them. Here comes the train.
Not the same one. This one's a different one.
They say there's 125 trains that run through Gallup each day in a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
There goes the train. So who are we talking about?
Second lesson about St. James.
So, about, you know, trying to, in a sense, to ladder climb, to try to kind of puff oneself up or try to look for great positions. And when they start to do those things, it provides an opportunity for our Lord to teach them. And he says, it cannot be with you, you know, like the religious leaders of the time. You know, you have to be a servant, because the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for many. So St. James heard those words from our Lord, and he really took them to heart because he did. He was a servant. He was a servant to the church, and he did offer his life so that the gospel might be made known. So I think that's another lesson that we can learn from St. James. I think another one, too, is, you know, they're passing through a town and people don't really receive the good news. And this is where the two brothers get their nickname. And, you know, they say, Lord, should we call down lightning or thunder upon these people? Essentially, should we just wipe them out? And our Lord says, no, that's not what we're about. And so that's where they get the name of Boarginus, Sons of Thunder. And I really am very fond of that name because my first name is James and my middle name is Sean, which is Irish for John, and I'm named after my grandfather, who was John. And so I actually, my two saints are James and John, the Sons of Thunder. So I always thought that maybe I'll have that as my handle or not, or my Twitter account, but it's not Sons of Thunder, but get there. I appreciate those two. I can get a little ahead of myself too. So,
well, I enjoy, one thing I've always enjoyed about the apostles is how human and relatable they are. They aren't these perfect men. They make a lot of mistakes and a lot of relatable mistakes, you know. And Jesus has always kind of happened to rein them in. It's kind of you know, not that it's good that we sin or anything like that, but it makes them a little bit relatable.
Yes,
you know?
It does. Very relatable. You know, they were, you know, when they look at the saints, they were men and women just like you and I, but what they did was they cooperated with the grace that God gave them. They lived virtuous lives. Many of them, they had great conversions, all sorts of different things that happened. But ultimately, what makes them great is their fidelity to Christ and his church. And we celebrate them because they're in heaven with God. And I pray to my patron saint every day to intercede on my behalf. He being an apostle and then falling in the lineage of apostles, too, that's one of the reasons why I pray to St. James as well as St. John for their intercession to help me. But we can all do that. We can all do that.
Yeah. Any final thoughts that you want to leave us with today?
Well, the Camino, so as I mentioned, we kind of started off talking about the Camino of Santiago de Compostela. And I encourage anyone to do it. And all you have to do is 100 kilometers. That's 62 miles for the Americans, 62 miles. And you can break it up as, you can walk as little each day or, you know, as much as you want each day. You can have a big day. I would always recommend don't go over 20, anything over 20 miles, and your dogs will be barking. But, you know, it's fairly user-friendly, especially the last 100 kilometers of the Camino, which starts in Sarria, a little town called Sarria. And to really, you know, to look at the pilgrimage as something that's good to do and in order to help us to grow in our faith through the intercession of St. James. And when you walk on the Camino, each step really through the intercession of St. James is a choice for Christ. Like each step as you move forward is a choice for Christ. And the pilgrimage that we do, these little pilgrimages that we do throughout our life, really speak of the greater pilgrimage, and that's the life that we live, and where our goal is heaven, where we do these little pilgrimages, like our goal is Compostela, but our life goal, our life pilgrimage goal is heaven. And so the pilgrimage is, you know, it's a nice hike, it's a good outing, it's a good vacation, but ultimately it's something much, much greater, and that is that it's an act of faith. And so I would encourage anyone to do it. Now, if you're unable to physically do it, then maybe to you know, visit the city, visit the Compostela. Recently I saw a beautiful movie entitled I'll Push You, and it just came out on November 2nd. It tells a story of two best friends, and one of the friends developed a disease that's similar to Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and he lost the use of his legs, then he lost the use of his arms, and he watched something, he found out about the Camino, the kind of a long traditional one, which starts in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, and that's 496 miles, and so he mentioned it to his friend, that he would like to do this, and his friend said, I'll push you. So it's a beautiful movie, a beautiful story about two best friends making the Camino together. And then, not too much of a spoiler alert, but you know, one of the neat things about it in the movie is that the assistance of other people, that to look at in this earthly life, we're not on our own, that we do rely upon the kindness and generosity of family and friends and neighbors and complete strangers too. But it's a beautiful movie. Yeah, it's called I'll Push You, and I'd highly recommend it. Maybe we can put it in the show's notes.
Isn't there one with Martin Sheen also, The Way?
There is. That's another good movie. That tells a story. It's a fictional story about a father and a son. And the father and son don't necessarily see eye to eye on things. And at the very beginning, this isn't much of a spoiler alert, but the very beginning, the son who's making the Camino tragically dies, and is the it's a story about how the father is dealing and grieving with his son's death and in relationship to the Camino. It's a beautiful story.
Excellent. Okay, so we will link to all those mentioned in the show notes, and maybe next time we can also talk about St. John. We can do a series on the saints as well, but thanks, Bishop Wall, for telling us all about St. James today.
You're welcome.
All right. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode.